May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, on Jesus' last night with the disciples, they shared a meal. Jesus washes their feet, gives them this new commandment to love one another. Then Jesus answers question after question concerning the fact that he is about to leave them. Then Jesus begins to pray. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is in Gethsemane before his arrest, and even the disciples are not actually all that near. And Jesus, he prays alone. Rather than listening or praying or keeping watch, do you recall what these disciples did? They fell asleep. Well, in the Gospel of John, the scene is different. Jesus and the disciples have not yet traveled to the garden where Jesus will be met by Judas and then betrayed. And when Jesus prays, the disciples are near. And earlier that evening, Jesus told them as much as he could about what was to happen and how he would continue to provide for them in the future. Now Jesus, he begins to pray. He prays to God, his Father, on their behalf. And so now I invite you to stand in body or in spirit as Rachel reads a prayer for us from Jesus. Throughout this morning, whenever you see text that is bolded and underlined, I invite everyone to read those words aloud together. Be one as we are one. Complete unity. The world will know that you sent me. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Rachel. Please be seated. Jesus is not offering further instructions to the disciples or to the church that they will lead. Jesus is not exhorting or preaching or teaching or my very favorite, gathering people up. Jesus is praying for the disciples in their present and for their future. And by doing so, he actually models a prayer for us that we can be praying and using as we are interceding for others today. Well, his focus is on unity. And because unity, Austin reminded me this week, is a trending social movement and a word that people use that often has different meanings, I wanted to take time this morning for us to grab hold of how Jesus defines unity for us in his prayer, and also to give time to why it's important for us to continue to be praying collectively for unity together. So Jesus says that our unity is to be like the unity he has with his Father. Our unity as brothers and sisters in Christ is meant to be a reflection of the kind of unity that exists in the Trinity, where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all dwell together in oneness. And yet at the same time, they are three distinct persons. So right away, we know that unity is not uniformity. We are not the same. On purpose, God creates us to look differently, to think differently, to have some different favorites. We might do some things differently, and it was by God's very design. So our diversity is not only good, but we can also find strength in our differences. And so we pray for unity like Jesus prayed, because unity is a reflection of the Trinity. According to God, unity, being united together, is always the goal. Moving in the same direction to achieve a shared, clear purpose. In the church, we have many different callings on our lives. And in a few weeks, actually, Pastor Peter is going to talk about servanthood and giftings. Yet all of us also share in a collective call from Jesus. It's often referred to as the Great Commission, where in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and to teach them. So we might all have different callings, but all of us are to share in this collective purpose. Pastor Stephen Van Den Ende describes it in this way. When you listen to an orchestra warming up their instruments before a performance, there is discord. You can't necessarily tell what they're playing because everyone is doing their own thing. But when the conductor comes out and he calls them to attention, and when they set their focus on him and look in his direction, all of a sudden these independent, disjointed instruments become harmonized. And out of that, you get one song played by multiple distinct instruments, all following their leader. This is to achieve the same goal and purpose, one beautiful song. When everyone has their own purpose, there will automatically be conflict. Unity happens when we are together, in step with our conductor, who is Jesus. So we're looking at him, we're following him, and contending for our purpose together in him. Friends, we find our unity in Jesus. It is us to Jesus, not Jesus to us. And so we pray for unity like Jesus prayed, because unity is purpose-driven, not persons-driven. Well, over Christmas week, I was beyond excited to have 3/5 of my children with me. And to say it was a blessing and that the time went way too fast is an understatement. My kids are now ages 17 to 24, and they are actually super close. As they were growing up, I prayed that it would play out this way, but between hiding scissors for nap time to give their sleeping siblings haircuts, or the girls nail-clawing each other for touching someone else's stuff, well, I was a little unsure. But now as adults, or adultish, I see how they give each other some really solid advice, and thoughtfully and really generously all chipping in to buying Elena, the youngest, a laptop as she graduates and needs to return her school-issued one. They choose to where to go to college or live so they can be near to one another, and just in general are loving each other so well. And although this pales in comparison to the unity that Jesus prays for, my kids have valued relationships with one another, and they have done the work of becoming united. If you're a mom, you know this brings me much joy. My kids learned how unity hinges on humility. It requires sacrifice, intentionality, and a little bit of patience most of the time. It's not easy work, and Jesus knew that true unity would be a challenge to come for most of us. Yet he knew that unity among Christians was an important pursuit for his very first disciples, and it would be for every disciple to follow, which actually includes you and it includes me. And so we pray for unity like Jesus prayed, even though it can be such hard work, because it's worth it. Well, unfortunately, Christians aren't always stellar examples of unity. And 2020 brought us some stuff, right? So many things that we've let divide us. And the disciples, they had stuff too. Even as Jesus prays in this text, the disciples are about to experience some radical trauma at Jesus' death. And this prayer also gives us a look at Jesus' own trauma as he prepares to die. Friends, Jesus is sweating blood. It's intense. And hear me when I say it was all unprecedented. Jesus' prayer is the cry of the heart of perfect love. And it's the power of perfect faith. Jesus knows these disciples' weaknesses, but he also knows that God will take care of them. The Holy Spirit will accompany them, strengthen them, guide them. And the Holy Spirit goes before us too, which is actually a really good and helpful and necessary thing, because we've got this common enemy lurking about whose ongoing pursuit, as many of you know, is to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal the unity of the family of God, to kill the power that unity brings, to destroy the credibility of the local church. When we can recognize Satan's tactics and stand united together, we are unstoppable for what we can do for the glory of God. Divided, we're deluded. We're weak, and we're less effective for how God can use us. Satan works to divide us. Jesus works to unite us. When we are united together, others see the love of Jesus in action, and our reputation as Christians will change. And our reputation needs to change. Instead of Christians and the church being known for what we are against and who, by the grace of God, we will begin to be known for what we are for. And we are for people experiencing the grace and love of Jesus and finding their identity in him. In John 13, Jesus clearly says it. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So say it with me. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love. And so this is why we pray for unity like Jesus prayed. We believe that our prayers matter. We believe that if we humble ourselves and seek our God in prayer, that he hears and answers. So we don't pray small and general prayers. We pray big and specific and faith-filled, passionate prayers. Jesus prayed for unity, for our unity. And our unity is just not for the sake of getting along. We pray for unity like Jesus prayed because our unity is actually a gospel proclamation for the entire world to see, so they might know they are loved by God and that Jesus came for them. It's a really, really big deal. Well, it's been said that the local church is the hope of the world. And one question we can continue to ask ourselves is how we leverage what we have, our resources, to regularly be serving the broader community. And a recent example I want to highlight is the 44 families Hope 410, which is a ministry of Trinity, was able to give a full meal and gifts for Christmas to. One person or one family could not have accomplished this alone. But united together, not only did Trinity get to be a part of this incredible blessing in our community, but others wanted in too. Another local church in a nearby neighborhood saw God moving through Hope 410 and said, "Can we be a part too?" The answer was yes. We can do infinitely more together than we can ever do apart. Well, 2020, it was a rough year for a lot of us. And the first century church, they knew something about adversity as well. They had limited to no budgets, no permanent meeting space, or live stream service option when they could not gather in person. On top of their daily grind, they were also enduring massive persecution. People weren't just talking bad about the pastor's sermon or sending a long-winded email. They were literally taking the lives of those who claimed that Jesus had risen from the dead. And still, these faithful Jesus followers thrived and spread the good news of Jesus all over the world. They were known in their communities by people who said, "I'm not sure if we quite believe what they do, but oh, do they love each other?" This was unlike they'd ever seen. Luke in Acts 4 describes it in this way. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. What does this mean? It means they were united. And here's the result of this kind of crazy united, all in together, and rare to see kind of love. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Do you see the incredible power in that kind of unity? Every need was met by God through the family of God, the church. When they didn't see themselves as individuals, but as a family, a part of a body, a part of a church that needs and wants to demonstrate the love of God together. What if throughout the communities that we live in, we had people who said, "We're not sure if we quite believe the way Trinity folks do, but do you see the way they love each other and forgive each other and the way they continue to take care of each other and are generous with their time and their treasure and their talent?" The world is tired, friends, of hearing about the love of Jesus. They want to see it. And how will they see it? They will see it when we love, when you and I love one another. I'm going to share some thoughts that I heard from Covenant Pastor Craig Rochelle, and I'm hoping that you'll just wonder with me for a moment. Gently close your eyes if that's helpful for you as you imagine, okay? But what if every believer, so including us right here in the sanctuary, and all of those living all the way around the world with the DeValves, our missionaries in Papua New Guinea, if we stood all together and said, "All that we have exists for the glory of God," what do you think we could do together? Are you ready? This is pretty amazing. By Monday, starvation could be eliminated around the world. By Tuesday, every person who doesn't yet could have clean drinking water. By Wednesday, poverty is eradicated. By Thursday, everyone with a medical need, their need would be met. By Friday, all of the orphans around the world would be in caring and loving families. By Saturday, every single person alive would have heard about the love of Jesus. And on Sunday, we would take a break. We would rest a little, but we would gather to worship Jesus, because we are one body under one name, serving one God with one purpose, to bring his love and his grace into the world. Quick show of hands, do you think this is idealistic, or do you think this is actually possible? Anyone? No one's willing to commit? Well, I have been called a possibilitarian before, it's true, but I do believe this is possible, because I believe it is God's will for us to be united. And it will start when the church prays and when the church stands together. And when we don't take shots at each other, but we believe God has called us to be a part of his family, to a higher calling with a higher purpose, to serve our higher God. So how about it? It's a brand new year, 3 days in. Can we take just one baby step? Can we lean in like Jesus and simply commit to praying just like Jesus prayed, but for the next 7 days in a row? If you're up for the challenge, on your tables or on your chairs this morning, you'll find a little piece of rope. And I'm inviting you to cut off an appropriate length to tie around your wrist. This is simply to serve as a reminder. And then daily, I'm going to invite you to pray John 17, 20 to 23. It's the passage Rachel so beautifully led us in this morning. From whatever Bible you have on hand, any version will do. For those of you in our live stream congregation, if you send us an email here at the church, we can coordinate a safe and convenient way to get a piece of rope to you. We invite anyone who wants to pray to join us. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus and you want to learn more about what this is or what it can mean for you and your life, simply reach out to me here at Trinity. I'd love to have a conversation with you. But it's 2021. Could this be the year we begin our journey towards being united together? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for coming to live among us, for loving us no matter what we do or say or think. Thank you for seeing our potential for so much more and calling us to a collective purpose. God, you said they would recognize us as your disciples by our love and for one another and for God. I pray that this would be so. May we be a representation of who you are in this world. May we be united so that you will be glorified and the world will know that you came for us. Your prayer in John 17 is a prayer for us today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would remind us to be praying for unity every day until we regather again. Thank you that we get to be a part of your family and your body. Help us as we learn more fully what it means to stand united together. Amen.